Welcome to the True Spirituality with Ange podcast. I'm here to bring you a version of spirituality that will uplift you, inspire you, and make you feel good. Your belief system does not matter. Everyone is welcome. And along the way, I hope I will help you to build your own spiritual blueprint that will make you feel 100% good about yourself. This is what I have done for myself, thanks to my intuition. So come along for the ride and let's light up the world. You don't need to be religious or even to believe in God. This is an inclusive and diverse space. Let's do this. Hello, everyone. I'm coming for a new episode of the True Spirituality with Ange podcast. It's episode 32, and we are going to talk about the gentle art of manifesting. I want to first, go back in time to when I discovered Esther and Jerry Hicks and their book Ask and It Is Given. It was so alien for me that I could not get past chapter one. Right. And I think part of it was because I was raised on a diet of work hard, stay disciplined and be patient. But also, I was taught to never ask for what I wanted and be grateful for what I had instead. And it went further than that, actually. My mother made it a thing that if I asked for anything, then I was sure not to get it. So just to reinforce the message. So when I started reading Ask and It Is Given, of course, this was so alien to me that I just could not relate to what they were writing. The book starts literally with, "We are called Abraham and we are speaking to you from the non-physical dimension." And that also kind of triggers me. I did not trust people who channeled. It felt weird. It just felt, I didn't know if I could trust these people. So I was very skeptical. Now the book continues saying, everyone will not get the same thing from this book, but every reading of this book will net you something more. So as I said, right off the bat, they talk about non-physical dimension. They talk about channeling. And that's, for me, that's a massive put off. Okay. And also there was a hint of cult energy into that, especially when I started listening or watching videos of Abraham Hicks on YouTube. They very often start their channeling by asking a few questions to engage the audience. And it really felt like, because everybody was answering the same thing back to the speaker, it felt incredibly weird, right? Of course, it continues to say, that it will awaken within you an awareness of the potency of your powerful now. Now, I had been raised as a Catholic to think that God decided everything and that nothing really was within my power. So I'd never been exposed to the idea that I create my own reality. And if anything, the opposite was fed to me constantly. So how would I even create my own reality? I had no awareness of that. Then that changed in 2006 when I trained in clinical hypnotherapy, because I learned how the mind works. I learned how, you know, with every thought that we have a choice to make between our reptile brain and our prefrontal cortex. I learned all about how beliefs shape our reality. And I learned about the hippocampus, which is a part of our brain that organizes memories in a way to make sense. So it kind of clumps things together, similar experiences. So it's not a linear thing. It's not, you know, like a calendar kind of thing. It's really about experience, feelings. And so I understood how our experiences create our beliefs, and then it solidifies through the whole brain process, actually. And in reality, we need filters to look at the world so we can make sense of it, right? That's why we have a childhood, and that's why we go through all those experiences. So we sort of create a sense of what the world is like. But I'm sure that you know that, for example, if you were raised by parents who thought the world was a dangerous place to live in and were constantly warning you against the dangers of the world, then you will, that is a belief. And the reality is, in your daily life, unless you live in a war zone or in an incredibly difficult neighborhood, and if you are, my heart goes out to you. But for most of us privileged to live in places that are relatively safe in the West, and I know that there's still some countries at war, even in Europe where I live, but I'm just going to take the example of the UK. If you put things in perspective, what you hear in the news is not actually a realistic representation of what is going to happen in your life. Now, this being said, I will say to it, I've been attacked twice in Paris when I lived there. So, I don't live with rose-tinted glasses. I know that in some circumstances, you have to keep safe, and I encourage you to do the same thing. But at the same time, holding a belief that the world is a dangerous place is not necessarily going to work for you, because there are a lot of behaviors that you are going to, I suppose, display or engage in that might limit your success or limit even, stop you from realizing your dreams. So when these beliefs start to work against us, it's important to challenge them. And I've talked about this on the podcast before. I have learned to challenge my beliefs, especially when they work against my desires. So I started to challenge, first of all, to notice what my negative beliefs were, and then to challenge them. And of course, it's easier to find out what your negative beliefs are if you take yourself out of your comfort zone and do something that goes against what you've done before or is something completely new. Then your mind is going to start to chatter and say all sorts of things why you shouldn't be doing what you're doing, right? So the work of Abraham Hicks asks you to do that as well, to challenge your beliefs and to replace them by better beliefs. They're no different to motivational speakers who tell you that you can achieve anything you set your mind to, as long as you believe in it. All right. Now, I'm not saying that that's not problematic. I actually think that it can be, especially when you're from a marginalized group, because it invalidates your experience, because you don't have the same opportunities as white privileged people, for example. But what the point I was trying to make is that Esther Hicks is not that different from someone like Tony Robbins. Obviously, she's different because of her personality, because of her gender, because of the way she speaks, but they're both motivational speakers. The only difference is that Esther claims that she channels non-physical wise beings. That was quite funny, actually, about Esther, because I've listened to videos of her for years, actually, on YouTube. And there's all this more that are posted sort of illegally, actually, without her consent, but they've decided to not do anything about it, or I don't know. It's wonderful in a way, because you can get to experience the work for free, and it's incredibly inspiring. But I remember hearing on many different interviews how, when she first was contacted by Abraham, she was incredibly hostile to the idea, a little bit like me, actually. Not that I've been contacted by Abraham, but what I mean is that this whole psychic energy, spiritual work was felt very uncomfortable for me at the start, because I was getting out of my comfort zone, and she definitely was asked to do the same. She thought that meditation was sort of walking on a bed of nails, and she had these visions of Indian man suffering through pain, and so she didn't want to do it, but in the end she gave in. So what I'm trying to say here is, I think we need to take a nuanced view of the teachings of the law of attraction, or the teachings of people like Tony Robbins, who are motivational or inspirational speakers. And what we really need to do is to take whatever they talk about Experiment with it as long as it's safe for us to do that, and then see what works, see what doesn't. I also want to explain that having been an online entrepreneur now since 2015, it is a well-known fact, or it's well accepted within the entrepreneurial world, that success in business is 50% strategy and 50% mindset, at least for solo entrepreneurs. And so it's very important to understand that mindset piece. And I believe that the law of attraction is that part of that mindset piece, even though it's probably on the far end of the woo scale, even though some entrepreneurs will tell you that journaling and doing mindset work is already very much on the woo scale for them. What I mean by woo, I mean, I don't know if it's actually the exact definition of the word, but it's it relates to something that is not rational, that is not traditional, that is not based on science or evidence. And that's maybe a bit woolly. I believe that the gentle art of manifesting, which is what I'm going to talk about in this episode, works on that 50% of mindset. Whether you're an entrepreneur or not, if you set yourself to do something and you have some mindset or limiting beliefs that come up when you decide to take the first step, that's not unusual. I'll give you a very simple example. The first time I started writing a book, I'd never written a book before, and I had all sorts of limiting beliefs come up, such as, I'm really rubbish at this. I've never written a book before. Nobody's going to want to listen to what I'm writing or read what I'm writing. Nobody's going to want to publish it. All these limiting beliefs. This is the mindset piece. The strategy, obviously, is to know how to write a book, to learn the craft, et cetera, et cetera. But you need the two pieces. You can't do without. Now, that's an example about being an author. If you were a sports person and you went into competitions, I'm pretty sure you know this is already the case. You have to do the practice, but you also have to work on your mindset. Because one of the reasons why athletes don't always perform as well when they're in competition, especially for example, like a basketball game, is because the team for the opposite, the supporters of the opposite team are going to shout some insults or trying to destabilize you mentally so that you don't win. So mindset is very important. It's a given. Now, I want to give you my, how many steps do I have for this? I haven't even counted. 9 steps of the gentle art of manifesting my way. Okay. So when I say my way, as with everything that I say on this podcast, or when you work with me, or when you read some of my content, I never claim that this is the only way. It's just the way that I've tried and that's worked for me. So I invite you to take what feels right, what sort of makes sense, or what you're happy to try out as a new idea. And then if it doesn't work for you, just drop it, right? Don't take anything on board that makes you uncomfortable, that is too much, or that clashes with your values, because that's pointless. It doesn't matter if you trust me, and I hope by now you trust me a little bit more than when I started this podcast, because that's the whole point. By sharing all this content and sharing, you know, who I am and what I stand for. But I definitely don't want you to put me on a pedestal, and I definitely don't want you either to run with ideas without having that sort of critical mind about what I'm talking about. So, first of all, step number one is to know what you want. You cannot manifest what you don't know if you don't know what you want, okay? So you have to decide what you want, and it's harder for a lot of people than you would think it is. We have self-doubt, we have hesitation, we can change our minds constantly. I remember doing that at one point when I wasn't sure what I wanted. So I would hesitate. One day I'd say I'd like this. The other day I would like something else. So until you make up your mind what you really want, and that's a process in itself that could have several steps, then it's not even worth starting that manifesting work. You need to be clear. Now, I like to ask What is for my highest good once I've determined for what I want? So I add it at the end of whatever I write down. So you might want to journal about that and take a few days to clarify exactly what you want. I want to say as well that for us who are people pleaser, we have been wanting things that make other people happy for decades. I'll give you an example for me. I was a very compliant child. And so to make my parents happy, and I'm not, avoiding responsibility for what I did because I did it consciously. It was a decision for me. I decided to study at university, something that didn't particularly excite me, but was a good career. I got married, I had kids, and that was all to please my parents. When I reached my 30s, after my second child, I was like, okay, so I've ticked all the boxes. What next? Why am I not feeling happier than I should? I believe that's the reason some people go through a midlife crisis. It's because they wanted something that society expected of them, or they thought they wanted something that their parents were expecting of them. Like, I know my parents put incredible pressure on me to produce grandchildren for them. And at the time, neither my brother or my sister were married and they didn't have children. So I was the one who had to fulfill their dreams. There was social norms also that were playing a big part in my desires. You know, all my friends were getting married. I came from a Catholic background. I actually ended up getting married in the Catholic Church. So I think we need to be strong and to peel off all that conditioning and to ask ourselves, what is it that I really want? And, you know, it's easy for me to do that now that I'm in my late 50s and I have had hindsight and I've looked back. But honestly, if I had to do things again, I think I would do them completely differently. I don't think I would have the same approach and the same desires and the same life aspirations, because I've managed to peel off all that conditioning and become aware of it. And I know now what I want. So that's step number one. Step number two, once you're clear about what you want, you need to identify the fears you have around this happening. So I'll give you another example. When I tried to quit smoking, I didn't just try, I did quit in the end, but it took me three goes. At the time, all my friends smoked, so I was afraid to lose my friend. It was a real fear. It's the same if you are in a culture or around friends where you go out drinking regularly and you decide to go sober or not to drink alcohol anymore. This is going to be very, very challenging, not just because it's hard to quit smoking or quit drinking, but because there's a social component around it. That means that you might actually also lose your social circles. And that is very traumatic, right? So it's important to journal about your fears, your limiting beliefs. And I also want to say that most of our fears are unfounded, okay? Some of them are. But I can tell you from lived experience that a lot of the fears that I've had in the past have actually been unfounded in reality. I can give you an example even from about a year ago. I thought I could never sell my house, and I'm not in the process of selling it. So this is what I'm trying to say here. I want to share a piece of wisdom that is comes from time immemorial. You know, it has been attributed to several different people, but I think the first one that has been quoted to say was Marc Aurelius, the Roman emperor. And that is that living in fear is not living at all, right? This being said, at the same time, not all fears are bad. These fears are very often the way that our reptile brain is trying to keep us safe. And historically, we were safer when we conformed to a group of people because they would be our family or they would be our community that would protect us if there was an outside enemy. Whereas if you branched on your own, you had much more chances to die. So It is here to keep Kabisa safe. I don't think fears are bad, but we need to clear them if we want to progress. So that's step number three. Clear those fears. I've mentioned the four step or the four questions by Baron Katie before. Go and search them out. I think from the top of my memory, they are you ask yourself when you have a fear, is it true? Are you absolutely sure? How do you feel when you think this thought? And how would things be different if you had another thought about it? And this helps you to deconstruct the fact that, okay, maybe it's the reality. Maybe there is a risk that something's going to happen. But first of all, a risk is not a fact. And then even when the worst possible thing happens to you that you thought you didn't want to happen to you, maybe things will turn out better than you thought they would. And that's exactly what happened to me when I lost my job in 2005, was pregnant with a child when the father of the child didn't want that child. It was just like the worst possible nightmare. Because, of course, I was a single mom of already two children. I had to pay my rent, and I had no idea how to get another job whilst pregnant. It was my worst fears come true, for sure. And yet, what happened after that was not half as bad as I thought it would. So I just want to say, I had a mortgage at the time, actually. It wasn't rent. I just want to say, you can clear these fears. Don't let that push you to do dangerous things, but at the same time, allow yourself to get out of your comfort zone if you want to achieve anything or manifest something that's out of the ordinary. Okay. Number four is take action. And that's the thing that very often spiritual people don't do. They think that by just thinking positively and keeping or maybe writing things 100 times, then it's going to happen without them taking action. No, action has to be taken. It can be tiny steps. So for me, when I wanted to quit smoking, what I did is I started reading a book by Alan Carr called The Easy Way to Stop Smoking. And halfway through the book, I quit because the book is very efficient to help you to quit. However, the problem is my ex-husband smoked, and so he actually tried to stop me from quitting. And he managed to get me to smoke again twice. And I know, you know, I could have resisted, but it's very hard when you just quit smoking and someone smokes in front of you and someone even lights up cigarettes and hands them to you. he certainly made it more challenging. But by the third try, I was done. I quit completely and I never smoked again. So, in order to take those steps, those action steps, even if they're tiny, do some research and then put together a plan. Okay. I know from my experience that the day I started planning in my business, which was in 2019, it was phenomenal what happened. And it led to me having my first 5K month a year later. I had some really serious results. And it's then that I realized that actually business planning or generally planning in life is a form of manifestation because you clarify what you want, you have a plan in place, you know what you're going to do, you know when you're going to do it. And so, of course, the universe hears you and says, okay, she really wants that. She's taking action, she's clear. Let's help her out and do 50% of the hard work to get her there. Number five is to actually revise your goals and your desires on a regular basis. Now, I'm not going to tell you on what cycle you should do it, if it's going to be monthly or every 3 or 4 months, but I do want you to, at some steps, at some place in your manifesting journey, to look back and say, is that what I really want? Or hope maybe you never wanted that, or maybe your desires have changed. And that's perfectly okay to change your goals or your desires or whatever you manifest halfway through the journey. Okay. Number six is be realistic as to what you can manifest. Okay. Setting unrealistic goals can actually be toxic because it can compound your feeling of failure, which is what has happened to me countless of times. I will say that some people thrive on stretch goals. especially stretch money goals, and some people don't. So know yourself as well. Know how you function. Do you like a challenge? If there's a competition to win something, do you like to take part in that competition? Do you like to be the best? If that's your nature, then go for it and push yourself and set those stretch goals. But if you have more self-doubt, if you are not very confident in your abilities, that doesn't mean that you're not as good as the other person. It's just that you have a different mindset, different levels of confidence, then you might want to be more conservative with your goals so that you build that confidence by achieving them along the way, one by one, okay? I want to give an example as well as how sometimes when you push yourself too much, you can actually set yourself back. And so I've been running on and off since 2009. I started running when I was 44 years old, and I've loved running all along. But occasionally, I get off the wagon, where it's because of a pregnancy or because it's I have a health problem, and then I need to get back. And at one point, I thought it might be a good idea to try the Couch to 5K program to get me back into running. This was such a big mistake because I actually didn't need to get motivated by it. I am usually a natural motivated person. But what happened is I was trying to keep up with it. Because of that, I pushed myself too hard and I actually got injured. And I'm sure a lot of you people who do sports have come across that problem. So although it's good to push yourself, it's also very important to listen to your body and not push through pain or an injury, because it's not going to get any better. So that's why I'm saying be realistic. And that's our step number six. Step number seven is surround yourself with supportive people. That is incredibly important. As I said earlier, when I was married to my first ex, he completely sabotaged all my efforts to quit smoking. I still did it, but it was so hard. I'm not saying I should have left him just because of that, but actually, looking back, I should have left him anyway. And I did. But the reason why he was sabotaging my efforts is because I was making him feel bad about his own choices. I think it's a little bit the same. I don't want to go too much into that diet example, though, because I've changed my mind about diets. Well, I've never liked diets anyway, but I even changed my life about, you know, the goal of losing weight. I think we need to deconstruct that first before we decide to embrace healthy living habits, but not with the goal to lose weight. But anyway, if you're surrounded by people, friends who are bigger than you, and you start losing weight, then they might not if they're good friends, but they might feel triggered by your success and try to sabotage it. So they will offer you cake or do all sorts of things so that you don't actually succeed. So it's very important to surround yourself with supportive people, because when you do something that's difficult, that requires grit, determination, and consistent action, you want to have a team behind you that's going to remind you of how far you've gone, of how it's okay if you fall off the program or whatever it is, or if you have that cigarette because you've done really well and you can get back on it. And just like me, I didn't have someone to do that for me, but after attempt number three, I finally quit smoking and I've never smoked since. So it is possible. Number eight is acknowledge the smallest of successes, okay? You can't wait until you have the final outcome. Otherwise, you are going to be discouraged, okay? Sometimes as well, it's about you celebrating what you did, regardless of the outcome, because taking that first step is really brave. Even if you didn't have the result that you wanted, acknowledge that you made that decision, that you took that first step, no matter what happens after that, right? And number nine is never compare yourself to someone else's success, right? We don't start at the same point. We don't, we're not given the same hand. And I think as well, I want to mention here that people who have experienced trauma and abuse often need to take a slower lane than other people that haven't, okay? And I want to remind you that life is not a race. And it's important for me to say that because in the manifesting world, there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of people who boast about these amazing results of having manifested, you know, 10,000, 20,000, 50,000, millions, whatever. But this is irrelevant. Just stay in your own lane, okay? And also, all that manifestation, was it just luck or was it privilege? So it's important before we brag about manifesting anything, whether it's success, money, love, we need to acknowledge our own privilege. Or if it's someone else's that you're watching and that you're inspired by, make sure that you unpack their privilege as well so that you don't put yourself at a disadvantage because you don't do as well as these people, okay? And I want to invite you, I don't know if it's going to be on Netflix for long, but I'm sure it's going to be available somewhere else when it comes off. But I've just watched a program called Dear White People on Netflix, and that was also a film, so you can probably find it on DVD as well or on some sort of streaming thing, because it really unpacks the privilege of white students versus black students on campus in the US. And I know that that privilege or that discrepancy between the opportunities given to different races exists just as much in the UK and in France. I'll give you an example, actually, without naming that person. But when I was a law student in Paris, there was this wonderful student. He was a friend, not a close friend, but a friend who spoke fluently three languages, who was highly articulate, intelligent, who did very well at his exams. We were doing both a law degree and a translation degree. But because he was mixed race, he never found a job in the law firms in Paris. He had to actually go outside of France to find a job, which absolutely broke my heart. And I found that actually pretty disgusting. So if you're not aware of what's happening in terms of race and the discrimination that still exists, I want you to become aware of it, to do your research so that you can be an ally for people who are being discriminated against, okay? And part of that education could be watching that program that's called Dear White People, because it's very eloquent at showing the discrepancies and also the microaggressions that marginalized group are subjected to. Right. So I will say in conclusion that there's a difference between luck and manifesting, because manifesting requires work on ourselves and it requires to take action, whereas luck doesn't require anything. But I will say as well that if you don't even have access to the information or the opportunity, obviously it's a lot harder. So we need to make the world a more inclusive place. And, you know, I was also reminded when I was making my notes for today about someone who shared last year in a business group how she saw a conference where only white women were speakers. There was not a single, it was an all-women conference. So she reached out to the organizer and said, why do you not have any people of color on your panel? In the end, she got in. But, you know, she made a point to explain, and it made a lot of sense to me, that she was not even in the circles where she could have applied, because very often there's a lot about the networking and who you know and how you get in. So it's important that we work on that inclusion. So when all this is being said, I still think it's a great benefit to work on our mindset, our money blocks. I want to mention the fact that in 2020, I run a 28-day manifesting course in the middle of the pandemic that helped people manifest cars, jobs, houses, and money. And if you would like to find out more about it, head over to my website, angedelumiere.biz, where on the welcome page, you'll see a link to my online courses. So I wanted to encourage you to go and check that out. Other than that, I think we're finished for today, and I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Bye for now. Thank you for listening to the True Spirituality with Ange podcast. I want you, before you go, if I could ask you to be kind enough to rate the podcast and write a review so that more people get to know about the podcast. Please also, if possible, share the episodes with people you think might be interested in listening to them, especially if you've liked them a lot. And understand that I'm also available to come and do expert talks to your communities, your memberships, on either intuition in business, spirituality in business, mindset, energy, prosperity, and intuition. Thank you so much for listening.